Will you please stand for the doxology, please? Bless those that was able to give. Bless those that wasn't able to give. In the name, mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. After the choir has rendered a song, the next voice you hear will be that of the Reverend Dr. Betty H. Holmes. Dr. Holmes is a graduate of Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, receiving an undergraduate degree there and moving on to receive higher degrees in the state of Florida. She is an author, written a book entitled When the Holy Spirit Prays. Help me welcome the Reverend Dr. Betty Holmes.
blessing that He's bestowed on you in every way. We must never doubt Him. These things we must go through. There is a God who lives up in heaven, and there's relief from every doubt and care, for He knows. Yes, He knows. He knows just how much we can bear. Although the load gets so heavy, left alone to bear it all. Just ask for strength and keep on trying. Though the teardrop falls, you have the joy of this assurance. Father, He will always answer prayer, and He knows. Yes, He knows. He knows just how much.
He knows how much we can bear,
and He knows. Church, I ask for prayer for my family. My nephew was killed. He's a security guard, and this guy came in and shot him. And so we are facing that. And I didn't know if I could sing this song, but I asked God to help me, and I thank you. Please pray for my family.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you just heard the request of our sister. You allowed her to sing from the depth of her heart, even though it's in pain and she's grieving. But you just showed us how much we can really bear. Now we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you throw your loving arms around her, her family, and bless them, O Heavenly Father, as they go through what they're about to go through. For Father, we know that you can bear all our sorrows, our hurt, our pains, our disappointment. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that she would find healing in your word. Now, as the word go forth, we pray that you would let us hear what you have the preacher to say. But first, Father, cleanse me, sanctify me, anoint me, forgive me for all my sins and transgression, and bless the hearers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say now, they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes up upon thee. And all Jerusalem stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Maaseiah, a Levite, and a son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's." My sister, what do you do when everything in your life falls apart right in front of your face, and there is absolutely nothing you can do to prevent it from happening? What do you do when your family and your friends betray you? What do you do when your nation deny you? In addition, what do you do when your church fails you? The Lord has instructed us to come to him in prayer. All of man's problems can find their solutions in prayer. It's just a little talk with God. We must first start by praying in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and most importantly, pray according to Scripture. Many examples are found in the Bible. One is found in Ephesians 6 and 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance in supplication for all saints. Another one is a prayer prayed by Jesus in Luke 22 and 42. "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." A group called the Center for Family Justice stated at least one person is abused in the United States every 9 seconds. The Washington Post lists the number of police killing at 976 deaths in 2017. A report also was released stating over 300 priests in Pennsylvania was accused of abusing more than 1,000 children. A question was asked, how common are school and church shootings in the United States? The Washington Post lists 220 school shootings since the Columbine attack in April of 1999, and 18 fatal church shootings. The deadliest church shooting was in 2017 at the First Baptist Sutherland Spring Church in Texas, with 26 deaths, including an unborn child. These facts provide evidence that there is a war taking place in this world. And if we're going to win the war on hate, crime, and injustice, we must pray and fight in the power and Spirit of God. The first solution is prayer. And the second step towards victory is to meditate and wait on an answer to our prayers from the Father. Oftentimes we pray, we tell God how, when, where, and what we need him and want him to do for us. Consequently, we seldom wait to hear a word from the Father telling us his will for our lives. The Father has an answer to every believer's prayer, but we must be patient and listen for his still, small, soft voice. The Lord might whisper, "Stand still and know that I am God." He could say, "These things come by fasting and praying." Or he may even proclaim, "This battle is not yours, it's the Lord's." When some people are confronted with problems, they consult every book on the internet and in the library and bypass the Bible. They read books on how to raise today's children, how to win friends and be a friend, how to be the life of the party, how to succeed in life and in business, and how to get and keep a man or a woman. Sadly, these books are not inspired by God. Unfortunately, the world does not seek to prevent or solve problems using biblical wisdom, knowledge, or understanding. In fact, the methods society uses when faced with a crisis lead to further destruction. Each time Jesus was faced with difficulties, he prayed. Jesus prayed his final prayer on the cross, and it's recorded in Matthew 27. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Soon the Father in nature responded as Jesus was being crucified on a cross. Once the Son spoke these words, the earthquake, the curtains in the temple that divided the people from the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. Truly, as the Father watched the sins of the world being transferred to his Son's shoulder, it caused him great sorrow. For the first time in history, the Son felt the pain and agony of sin and the separation from his Father, so he prayed. When King Jehoshaphat heard about the attack on Judah, he immediately asked the people to fast and pray as they entered the temple. When adversity comes into our lives, do we fast, enter the sanctuary, and pray? King Jehoshaphat followed the example of King Solomon, who called the people together for a day of national prayer when the temple was completed. Later that night, the Lord appeared to King Solomon and spoke these words in 2 Chronicles. "If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I from heaven will heal the land and forgive their sin. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes, my heart will always be there." Church, the Spirit of the Lord is still moving in our sanctuary, and his heart is still yearning to answer our prayer. He is able and willing to fight any battle we are experiencing when we pray. Just as the Lord promised after King Jehoshaphat and the people prayed, the Spirit of the Lord anointed one of his temple musicians. Then he prophesied, saying, "Hearten ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord." Scripture tells us that every battle against fallen angels and evil spirit in the high places. That is why the Lord has instructed us to pray and put on the full armor of God.
Paul gave us the major spiritual weapons of war that is needed to fight and defeat the enemy in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your grounds. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted for the righteousness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which is to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. There are 6 spiritual weapons in the Lord's storehouse. The first weapon is the belt of truth. It would hold us secure and keep us tightly buckled to the Lord in spirit and truth. The second armor we should wear is the bulletproof breastplate. It protects and blocks the fiery darts of the devil from penetrating to the vital organs like the heart and lungs of a righteous soldier. The third weapon is used to prepare our feet for the gospel of peace. These spiritual boots will allow us to walk boldly without fear into the enemy's territory, to invade it with the gospel of peace. The fourth weapon is a shield of faith. This weapon is a firm confidence in the power of God and proves faithful when temptation comes into our lives. The fifth weapon is to cover our head with a helmet, which saves and provides salvation. It protects the head of a soldier. If the head is injured, the battle would be over. The last piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus used the word during his earthly ministry, and the same word will keep us safe during our heavenly mission. Finally, prayer is the weapon that keeps every piece of the armor spiritually fit for battle. Prayer should be prayed deliberately and spontaneously. Most importantly, it should be prayed without ceasing. However, some battles can't be won with a sword or a shield. Bullets are guns. Lies and alibis. On the other hand, no battle can be fought in the natural, for when flesh fight against flesh, it fails. In fact, all battles must be fought in the power and the anointing of God if we're gonna win. King Jehoshaphat was not going into war against foreigners. He was going into battle with his cousin. The three evil kings were the king of the Moabites, king of the Amorites, and king of Mount Seir. They decided that King Jehoshaphat's kingdom should come to an end. History is now repeating itself. Currently, a war is going on in the three branches of our American government. One fake king has been corrupting the minds and hearts of half the nation, and he has decided that the free press and free society must come to an end. Under this leadership, Facts have turned into fiction. Lies have replaced truth. Racism and hatred have unveiled her heads, and now standing face to face against all the nations. In our text, the Lord is about to take the nation of Judah to a higher level. Instead of ordering all the king professional soldiers to suit up for battle, King Jehoshaphat told the Levite choir and the musician, "Assemble yourselves for battle." He ordered the gospel choir to sing their songs of praise, and he instructed the musician to play their instruments as they led Judah into battle. Spiritually, the Lord was about to perform a miracle by inhabiting the praises of his people so that he would get the glory. And that is why he revealed these prophetic words: "The battle is not yours, it's the Lord." The prophet Daniel gave us a perfect picture of God at work and how to pray, fast, wait, and win a war against the evil forces in this universe. Daniel prayed to the Lord, but his prayers was held up for 21 days. The angel Michael told Daniel that the spiritual wicked prince of Persia had tried to block and stop two of the angels from delivering a word from God to Daniel. Is there an evil prince warring over our political and religious institution today? Most emphatically, yes. One struggle, our struggle today is not against the Republican base, legislative, or judicial branches of the government. The war is against spiritual wickedness in high places. Just know that our prayers have been heard, but the answer has been delayed by the wicked prince of this earth. Fear not, help is on the way. I leave you with Psalms 27, which was composed by King David, who was a great warrior and praying man. I also encourage every believer to pray these words over their life, family, friends, any situation, and yes, even your enemies. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom should I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up against me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why, David? Because the battle is not mine. It's the Lord. The host encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Why, David? Because this battle is not mine. It's the Lord. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemy. Deliver me not unto the will of my enemy, for false witnesses are rising up against me, and such breed out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For this I am so glad that the battle is not mine, it's the Lord. Second Baptist, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and the Lord shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, because the battle is not yours. The battle is not mine. The battle have already been ordained, maintained, and won by our Heavenly Father. So I tell you for the last time, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Didn't the preacher preach? She preached. Hallelujah. Thank you for the message. And we thank God for the messenger. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. Fear not. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Church is standing, the door of Father's house. This is the invitation to discipleship. We invite you to come. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to make Second Baptist your church home. Be more like you. Take time now to honor the men and women and families who have served our country. When your branch of service hymn is played, would you raise your hand? The first one is the faith. Would you tell us what they are?
The Army.
The Army. If you served in the United States Army, would you raise your hand? United States Navy. Space Marines. Thank you. S1, United States Air Force. Coast Guard. And now the Lord's army, must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all this world go free. All who are willing to bear a cross, would you please raise your hand? Thank you, thank you. This is the Lord's army. Lord our God, we thank you for the men and women who have served in the armed forces of these United States of America. We bless your name for those who have and who are following the cross of Christ. We thank you that we have answered your call to serve you, and serving you to serve humankind. We thank you for reminding us today through the preaching of your servant, Dr. Betty Holmes, that the battle is not ours, that it is the Lord's. We thank you for the victory that Christ displayed over death and over sin. And now, God, as we go, we pray for safe travel. Be with Dr. Holmes as she travels back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. May the road of peace and safety rise up to meet her and us. May the wind of your Holy Spirit be at our backs, pushing us toward excellence and service to God and to humankind. May the rain fall softly upon our fields to nourish our dreams of life together with you and with all who have served with us. And may the sun shine warmly upon our faces to remind us of the warmth of your presence, the power that's in the name of Jesus the Christ. And our God, until we meet again, we pray that you would hold each one of us in the palm of your hand. And now may the grace of God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. In the name of Christ, the resurrected one, first fruit of the dead, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go knowing the salvation of our God.